Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, everybody, Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden on this another hot day here in the Colorado area. It's the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, true straight up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Hey, before we get into the main part of the show, Jacob, on Friday, we had Rev's golf tournament went long. He came in third, so it was good. So we apologize for not being there Friday, but we are here and we're back. A lot to talk about today. The economy is collapsing.
Julie never consults me on these excuses. We had to save a whole busload of small children.
Oh, that's right.
As it was teetering on the edge of a huge thing, we're able to pull it up,
that's right,
do recitation, and save all the kids.
Like 40 of them.
40 of the kids with the help of Superman called Red.
But anyway, we're back now. The economy is collapsing. Tina Peters' trial is underway. And somebody somehow is funding the coup attempt against Dave Williams. All of that to talk about. But want to start off with this has been going on in Denver for far too long. Denver in decay. Alex Drawbaugh, he's my daughter Jennifer's boyfriend, and he's the owner of Mile High Adventure Rentals and has been essentially struggling with homeless, drug addict people, criminals, things like that. And the city's like, why are you calling us? So Alex, before we let me just first welcome you to the show. Thank you for your time today and glad to see you.
Thank you guys.
Sorry about the circumstances. So why don't you explain first, let's set the stage, let people know where your business is, what it is, and tell us a little bit about it.
So they can rob it themselves.
No.
Yes, please don't do that. We've had enough of that going on lately. So I own Mile High Adventure Rentals. We are on 8th Street in Decatur, right in between 6th Avenue Feds and 8th Avenue I-25. Great place for business. We're right off I-25. We're right off 6th Avenue. It has been absolutely phenomenal. There's plenty of business in Denver for everybody. Unfortunately, we've had a bunch of just awful circumstances here as of recently. So I've been in this building, I believe, we're coming up on 4 years now. And it's been great. Absolutely phenomenal for us. But we are having some issues down there. I'll just start from the top. About a month ago, we had a large explosion down there. There is a greenway, I believe is the term for it, on one side of our building. The homeless go down there. They usually don't have any problems, but there was a huge explosion. That was about 3 a.m. a few nights ago or weeks ago, excuse me. I happened to be there working late. Called the fire department. They did show up. There was no harm, no foul on that one. Now we've got several tenants.
Well, let me back you up. The home, was that probably a meth explosion? Probably somebody making meth? Okay.
Yep. They're making drugs back there, unfortunately. Okay. So we have tenants back there. You know, they're all small businesses, everything from wrap companies to mechanics to welding shops. They're all just like myself. Small, self-made, that sort of thing. I've had two instances this month already where in that same greenway, there was an explosion, fire ensued. My guys had to put a fire out before my building burned down. About a week later, the same thing happened on the other side. There's another greenway there, kind of an alleyway, that the guys did the same thing. Huge explosion, rattles. It's so big, it rattles the windows of this giant warehouse. And again, my guys had to go out there and put the fire out. The police have been called on both of these occasions. I never even get a call back. And that's what we're really upset about, is just not knowing what's going on. Last night, I got a phone call. It was like 11:30. One of the neighbors there called and asked if I was okay. I said, yeah, I'm just about to go to bed. What's up? He said, there's been multiple shots fired. Sounds like it's in your lot. So I called down to dispatch. I said, gave him the address, blah, blah, blah. They said there was multiple reports of fire. I asked if I'd get a call back. I'm dealing with an injury right now. It's hard for me to be mobile and go do these things. So they said, no, you will likely not get a call back. A couple nights ago, we had a bunch of windows broken out down there. So with that and not knowing what was going to happen with the police department, I decided to drive down there. When I pulled in, I went through the walkway to go around the building where the fires have happened to make sure we didn't have a fire going on. Nobody was back there, and I heard somebody yelling on our way back through, and it sounded like they were in my lot. So I pulled up. There's two individuals locked inside my lot. Called the police. I called the neighbors first. They came and helped. Then called the police and had to wait there 30 plus minutes, I would say, for them to come and do anything. It's just getting increasingly worse and worse and worse. I moved here 10 years ago from the Bay Area, and when I got here, I was like, "Oh, Denver's so pretty." You know, the Bay is such a terrible place these days. And now I'm closer than ever to downtown, and you just don't go over there because it's all the drug use. We're not trying to hate on the homeless community. We are trying to make light of the homeless community that isn't looking for the help they need.
What about, no, it's my understanding too. So you get there and you're catching these people, like somehow or another, they got themselves trapped because these are not apparently criminal masterminds on your property, but they're like literally rolling out the stuff that they were stealing from you, right?
Yes. And I didn't even, at the time, you know, everything happened so fast. I didn't even realize that it was my stuff until I took a second look and I was like, 'cause we were just gonna push them out of there. And then I realized that no, they had a cooler, like a roller cooler full of my stuff. They had one of my duffel bags full of my stuff. They'd gone through a bunch of campers and RVs that we have there on the lot and you know, ransacked anything that they could find and take.
And so then the woman managed to escape because it took the cops forever to get there. And is it my understanding she's back there hours later against now?
Yes. Me and Jen had this conversation last night that I felt like I shouldn't have let her leave. But I didn't feel right holding a woman like that. So she's like, there's no way this woman would ever come back. And less than 6 hours later, she was back at the shop. She tried to enter the RVs again, which my guys are down there, so they stopped her from that. She's banging on windows. She's wearing nothing but a sheet also.
Oh,
No
as one
shoes.
does. That's so she doesn't leave any DNA or something. No, I'm kidding, but
Something like that. The cops have been called multiple times today to get this woman out of there. This is about as easy as police work as it can be. It's on camera. She had the stuff in her hands. This is obviously the same woman. And we can't even get the PD down there.
they won't even come. What do they say when you call?
They said, we'll send somebody. That was hours ago. Nobody has showed up.
And it's, well, and it's the kind of thing I know, again, from having covered this kind of thing, and it's getting worse and worse. What happens is they, you know, number one, they're overwhelmed with calls. Number two, the city of Denver has allowed the, I think, the homeless, the criminal element of the homeless drug dealer population to just go crazy. Because I'm assuming there's probably now a homeless encampment that's growing up around there, right? And that's where these people are coming from.
Yes, correct. You know, the Denver projects were just to the north of us that the Denver Housing Authority is now rebuilding. So that area has been a little problematic over the years, but now that it's in construction phase, it is just a huge encampment. It changes week by week. I think they are trying to push some of them out of there. But they are overlooking some of the areas where this bad stuff, like the guys that are making the drugs, are using.
Right. Well, and it seems to me, okay, so here, so you're a taxpayer. You're, as you said, you're a self-made guy. You've got numerous.
And you have tenants who are hardworking, starters and starting their own thing. So you're really the lowest of the totem pole. I mean, you guys are really the most hated group of human beings in the city.
So you're
Yes,
having to.
correct.
You're having to, number one, put out the fires in the first place, which is never, that's even not, that's go, that's not even talk about the fact that why are these people, you know, repeatedly cooking meth there anyway.
Why?
What's going on with that?
Why?
Well, I mean, why doesn't the city do something about that? But having let that go, you'd at the least think that your employees would not and you would not be having to put out fires, would not be having to detain people, and having had detained them for as long as you could leave, and then they're back. I mean, these people, they know the cops are not going to do anything, right? They know that they can cook meth, it blows up. Oh, well, we'll just try it again tomorrow. I mean, at least that's my impression. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think you nailed that on the head. It's very unfortunate. A lot of these guys are young. They have families. They're the hardest working people I've ever met in my life. They'll be there for 16 hours a day, you know, just trying to provide. And we have these people that are just taking advantage of the situation. I think you nailed it on the head with, obviously, some of the homeless, they've been dealt bad cards. And there are some out there that are trying to work and do the right thing. But we have so many of them that are falling under this disguise and just wanting to do drugs and make drugs and do crime.
Right. Well, and let me ask you this.
So what's the problem?
Yeah, yeah. So we have, as business owners, I know we've done for the newspaper, the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, and we'll hopefully be able to talk to you and maybe get some attention to this, because it has been my experience that the squeaky wheel maybe gets a, at least they may move them out. But the thing is this will go on and on. And we've talked to numerous businesses that have just left. They say it becomes too dangerous. My employees, I can't get employees who say, you know, hey, look, you know, Alex, I'm happy to work with Mile High Adventure Rentals, but I'm not a firefighter, or, you know, I'm not a paramedic, or, I mean, do you worry about that, the impact on your employees and then on your business?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing I worry about is, one, their livelihoods, and number two, their lives. You know, businesses come and go. That happens. It's not quite the same for people. So that's the biggest thing. Is just it's worrisome. They're becoming more aggravated. They're getting higher on these drugs. We're just seeing awful stuff. This particular woman has told my guys 3 or 4 times today that she's going to come shoot them up. And the cops still won't come and remove her from my property.
Well, and it's not, and there were shots fired, right? So we could indeed, somebody's got a gun down there.
Yes. When the police did finally get there last night, they said that was a separate instance. It was up an incident. It was up the road, this, that, and the other thing. But you never know these days. I mean, it feels like everybody's got a gun, right?
Right. Well, it's kind of like, and be like, so, oh, well, that's a separate instance. The shots being fired next to your lawn is not the same. I mean,
they were very adamant about that. But, yeah. Oh, no, that wasn't this. That wasn't this. And it was like, okay, guys, I get that. But why did it take so long for you guys to show?
And what did they say?
They I feel bad for them, too. You know, we were harping on them pretty hard. They just don't have the resources. That's okay. Always the answer that we get.
Now, what about, have you tried contacting city council members? Or, I mean, I can tell you right now, they're going to be like busy. I mean, have you tried that or tried getting any response from the city?
Yes, 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 we have. And actually, the owner of the commercial space there, his daughter's on city council. So I think she's on this pretty hard today. We will see if we get some kind of help in that aspect. And again, we're not trying to say all homeless people are bad. We have some that come to the shop that are clean cut. They're not on drugs and they need some money. We give them odd jobs here and there. We're all here to help. But it's the bad ones, like what we experienced last night, that's making it hard to want to help any of them.
Well, have you tried hiring an off-duty police officer?
We do have private security down there.
Oh,
they do have private security. But are they off-duty cops?
Well, yeah, no. No, well, and again,
the off-duty cops on the call seem to get a little better response rate than
but it can be hard to get this. I know from experience that the Denver police off-duty staff, sometimes they have rules as to what you can do or not do. But I think, you know, Alex, one of the things that just seems to me, because I've, you know, we used to live in Denver, I've covered Denver as a reporter for literally decades, is this all starts years ago from, I think, city policies that, you know, drug addicts, homeless people, that criminals just let them out on bail. I imagine if they arrested somebody last night, I'd bet you dollars to donuts, that person is probably already released on bond. That person probably always, like this woman, I would bet, has a criminal record, probably is a fugitive, is wanted on warrants, right? And they just let him go. And I imagine, I mean, you talk to other businesses, are they feeling sort of the same frustration that you feel?
Absolutely. There's all of the businesses around. There's about four of us down there. We're all feeling the same way, number one. And number two, we're all watching out for each other. Like, I got that call last night from my neighbor.
Right.
And it was just, hey, are you okay? Kind of deal. Some of us do a little bit more than others, and we're almost like a coalition on our street block, just trying to keep some peace and some order down there now. And that's not what any of my guys signed up for when they come throw wrenches or doing the things that we do or
Right.
welding. But that's it's it, it is becoming a part of our businesses. Unfortunately, we have to protect what's ours.
At what point do you think it, at what do you maybe in some of these other businesses say, you know what, maybe Denver just isn't for me anymore?
I mean, it's becoming increasingly that way for me. I used to love coming down into the city and working all day and then getting away up to my ranch. I kind of got a new affinity for Denver in this last year, moving back down that way. But that bluster is becoming to it's really coming to an end, unfortunately. If Yeah, I know there's a lot of other suburbs we can go to that are doing better at this kind of stuff. And that might be a reality at some point in time.
Yeah, for Denver. Let me. You getting you just so you know, Alex, you're getting a ton of comments over here. This is from Sandra. That area has always been a bad area regarding crime. I can't imagine what it's like now. Goodness, you guys really need to be careful. From Sandra, Julie, you and Chuck know what it's like when the DPD decides not to help. Oh, that's right. At the Black the Blue rally we were at, Alex, I got a hit basically by these Antifa people, and the cops are like, "Yeah, it's time for you to leave now." I mean, we were the bad
This
guys.
wasn't that big of a hit. We've seen bigger hits.
Bigger hits from Leo says, you know, Denver is turning into Detroit. Oh, and then Dr. Donna recognizes, she says, the mobility utensils behind you for that. Yeah, and then Leo says, weird that Sturgis, North Dakota doesn't have a huge crime crack problem. Well, yeah. Well, what do you, I guess, what we won't keep you very much longer because I know you're busy dealing with all of this. And again, you know, as somebody who's lived in Denver and the Denver area for over 40 years, and I love the city, and it is just so sad to see what even the current member, I mean, we've talked before, at least when the developers were running the city, they kept things clean, right? For business reasons. Now it just seems like, you know, I don't know. And I know Sun Valley, I mean, I'm familiar with that area. Although it used to have, and it can have high crime, it was always, I think, before very community oriented. It's one of Denver's oldest neighborhood associations. I mean, it sounds like under their whole redevelopment project, it's getting worse even.
Well, what's happened, or what I feels like has happened, because I've only been down that area for the last 4-ish years. All of, like I said, the Denver Housing Association bulldozed the projects down there. They're putting up the high rises. All of the businesses around us, all the mom and pops, are all being bought out for more skyscrapers and more big companies to come in. So I think that sense of community that area had is being dissolved. There's not a lot of us left over there, at least on that corner where we're at. And like I said, I had a conversation earlier today with our landlord, Juan Alvarez, about the other buildings. I said, I think that there's homeless people living in the buildings. He said, oh yeah. I said, I've already called the police. I know the city bought up all those buildings. They've fenced them off in the last few weeks. The fences are already cut. There's campers in there. There's, just awful things going on back there. So the only thing I'd like to see out of this is a little bit of support from the community, number one. And number two would be a little bit of communication with the Denver PD. I know it's a big city. I know we have bad things going on, but a little bit of communication, gives us the information we need to continue our business activities.
Exactly. Well, let me back you up. So you said now, so the city bought the buildings, and so the homeless people are now camping out illegally in the city-owned buildings. So it's
Yes.
like it's their buildings. It's like it's a city
Well,
buildings.
hotel for the homeless.
Oh,
They
wow.
bought it for them.
Yeah,
Well,
and they pushed them out of there a couple of times over the last month or so. But like I was telling Juan earlier today, I am 90% sure I saw the window. And now we're seeing all the graffiti again. But one of the windows was broke out. There was a fire going on in there, the other night. And I'm just like, guys, come on,
that's
let's clean the city
dangerous.
up a
Well,
little bit.
you got a progressive mayor and a progressive city council.
and they tend to
not care about citizens.
Yeah, well, they care more about their own ideals and what they think the world should be like, which can be awful for the people who are in that world. But it's tough because you can't blame the police. The homeless are the homeless. But it does seem like it's just a city in decay. And its decay is going, density and decay. They want more and more density.
Absolutely. I think you said something there that I'd like to take light of. The police now can't do their jobs in a way that it needs to be done.
Right.
The homeless are completely off limits. Right. So what kind of resolve can we have? What can we do?
I don't know. I mean, well, hopefully, we can get a little publicity for you here. It's just been my experience that if you can just kind of point it out, and sadly, all that'll happen is they're going to shift it from your business area to someone else's business area. I mean, they came there to your business area from someplace else, right? It's not some like wacky coincidence that all of the homeless people thought, oh, let's just go to 8th and Decatur, right? Because the scenery is so great there. I mean, there's a reason.
I think you are absolutely correct. We are just pushing it from one area to another area. And that's not a solution.
No, that's not.
Somebody's got to figure something out. The homeless population in Denver it's had to have at least doubled, if not tripled or quadrupled over the years. So that's an issue that probably needs to be looked at. And then how we deal with them as well. The only government agency that we've dealt with today is what they call SET. Are you guys familiar with that?
No.
So it used to be Street Enforcement Team, I believe.
Okay.
And they have made them change. Maybe it's Street Enforcement Team now. Sorry, I should be better at this. They made them change their name to be less
scary. Huh?
What's the point of that? No, I believe the word that we used when I was talking with Elise over there was enforcement. And yes, we need street enforcement, guys.
Right.
This is the reason we have these government entities. Is so we're not
street caring team.
Caring
team.
A zoning law, right? Or if you fail to pay your taxes, they would have no problem sending an enforcement team after you, right? So,
absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, sir, thank you for
your
time.
Very nice. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for coming on. We'll see if we can get you some help. And, and thank you for the work that you do. I think small business owners need all the support they can get. And you need to feel like the government is on your side.
Well, and thank you guys for taking the time to talk with me about this.
You bet.
All right.
You bet. Take care.
Thank you very much. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's amazing. I mean, we've done story after story. We've seen story after story where businesses in Denver just are like, I've had it. Everybody there, Alex, if you're still listening, thank you. You guys take care. Everybody says good luck to you there too in this comment section. I don't know, Mark Poff, maybe I'm calling on you a little bit early. I don't know if you're listening, but you're in law enforcement. And I don't know if you want to pop in, if you have any thoughts on this. So I don't know if you heard the beginning. It's a Denver business owner and my daughter's boyfriend, who's a great guy. But he's got a bit, and he's been broken into. The homeless people are there, that the woman was literally stealing stuff in a sheet, only dressed in a sheet. And she's back again this morning and the cops don't respond. I mean,
well, the cops are kind of between a rock and a hard place because they know their supervisors and the city council or the whole city is not going to support them. So there's no incentive. In the old days, cops would actually get in trouble for driving too fast to go places.
Yeah.
And now they have GPS receivers and all the cruisers, so they know exactly how fast you're going to get there. And I always say, when I was in law enforcement, never be first, always be second to get on scene.
Right.
But the problem is, if they go in there like the old days and take care of business, so she's dressed in nothing but a sheet. The cops come running in. She throws off her sheets and then she starts arguing But they have body cams. So what she needs to do is she needs to run up against them so you can't see anything because of the body cam, then rip off the sheet and then say that he ripped the sheet off or whatever. Everybody gets sued. Denver settles. You know, they make tons of
Everybody's
money.
Happy.
Everybody's happy.
The price
owner.
Of meth goes down, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, the individual cops are really in a tough situation. You know, they want to be cops. 90% of them, 95% of them want to be cops. But really the direction that our country is headed in, and Denver's following in the same footsteps. Right. Don't think that Denver's any different than some of these other liberal cities like Portland, Chicago, Minneapolis and stuff. They're just catching up. You know, they're like the JV team trying to make varsity on having their liberal administrations. I don't know what I would do. I do know what I would do. I would move out of Denver.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say that. The suburbs are where it's at, you know, just to get out of there. And then you have your own local law enforcement that's typically a little better, hopefully a little more conservative in their values, and maybe their administration will support them. But for God's sakes, don't move to Aurora.
No. I'd worry about what. Well, I mean, if you're a business owner, and we've seen this story after story, right? That's what's happening to Alex and his business. But I mean, if you're a business owner, if you own the lot, right? I mean, this is where
your
stuff
do?
Is, right? It's kind of like, and I mean, what would you, how would you advise a business owner? There's not much. And he says, oh, we have security, but the security's got to be careful because they have the same problem, right? The security people, they don't want to get into some, I mean, it's not their job to put out meth explosions, right?
Well, if you get an independent security, they're there basically to protect your employees.
Right.
If you get an off-duty or an extra-duty cop, understand that they're still going to live by the same rules, because it would be nice if you could hire the cop and say, look, I'm going to hire you and I'll pay you hourly. But if there's a crime, I actually want you to do something.
Right.
And the first goal of working extra duty is take no paper.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole goal is to make overtime. And
so you would call somebody else then. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll call somebody else and say, hey, you need to come over here. And then they just don't show up. And no one's becoming cops, so there's less and less cops, which means that the lower standard of what you would show up, you know, I wonder what would happen if I called the county sheriff and said, hey, someone smashed my mailbox.
Oh,
in
yeah.
the old days, they'd come out and take a case. There's no way.
Right.
They'd be like, well, go get a new mailbox.
And let's take a look at the situation as Alex described it, because, I mean, so they get there at 4. It's a burglary in progress, right? They've got the people who are not, like I said, criminal masterminds, apparently had somehow trapped themselves into the lot. Well,
nice.
Because the stuff they were trying to steal couldn't get out. So they were trying to figure out how to get all the stuff they were stealing out of the lot. So they're calling the cops. They're like, they're here right now. We've previously had shots fired, and the cops take for, by the time the cops get there, and as civilians, they don't know what to do to detain these people. Right. I mean,
and you'll probably get sued.
Shouldn't that be somewhat of a priority for the cops? It's a crime in progress, possible guns being there.
Yeah, but it depends on the waiting line for McDonald's. Well, that's long.
Krispy Kreme. But the problem is, you know, second degree burglary, which is, and if they have a weapon, it's first degree burglary. That's a class 2 or class 3 felony. I mean, that's about as high. Class 1 is as high as you can get. So I don't know how you can prioritize and say, hey, we got a burglary in progress. Let's not send anybody for a while. Wait a minute. That's an F3.
Right.
You know, that's one of the highest crimes in the state of Colorado. But that's where we are. It is, you know, it just, you know, you could steal anything you want from Walmart.
Yeah.
And just walk out the door. But if you try to steal a little box of Girl Scout cookies on the way out, those kids will, you know, take you down. So it all has to do with motivation. And so it's, we're in a sad state. And then, you know, John and I have seen people that have been charged on ridiculous cases where they overcharge, and they will focus in and take someone who has been a contributing member of society for their entire life and take them down, overcharge them, and do all kinds of stuff. But if you get some low life, you know, homeless person or whatever, that's walking out of Walmart, for God's sakes, don't touch them.
Right. Well, and here's what happens to it. And this was years ago when I was still a reporter. So if you and I get like arrested or charged with a crime or even anything, right? We like show up for the hearings and we do everything. And these people, I mean, again, I'm sure, I think from what Alex was explaining earlier, they did arrest one guy. I'm sure he's out. right?
Absolutely.
They don't keep, and he knows he's going to be out. So maybe he gets in and gets to take a shower or something while he's in there, right? I mean, in your experience, I mean, the bad guys know that nothing's really going to happen to them, right?
That is correct. And they know the system.
Right.
In the wintertime, they'll actually commit a crime and want to go to the jail, like you said, to get warm, you know, if it's going to be cold right. that night, get some hot food, take a shower or whatever. Then they'll punch out the next day and never be seen from again. And then they have these warrants for them, and then they'll turn themselves in on another cold night, and then they'll cut them loose the next day. I mean, it's the whole system is just screwed up right now. And again, this is I had someone act up in my ward years ago, and another deputy said to me, he goes, "Well, what do you expect? You know, that they've got no sense that God gave them." And I said, "You know what? I can train a dog not to pee in my house."
Yeah.
You know, you can, through positive and negative reinforcement, even people that do have some amount of mental illness know, don't do that. You know, right. This is what's going to happen. You know, so we've created a society, though, where they know, like these tent communities and stuff, they know they can get away with it until you finally step in. But, you know, some of that's coming back to bite the Democrats now.
Right.
You know, where they've made all these decisions, like the market crashing today.
Yeah,
I mean,
minor
thing. If you want to see a way for Democrats to be exposed, once people start, even liberals, they still like their money. When they see their 401ks crash because of all this craziness, you know, some of them will be like, you know what? I'm 5 years from retirement. I can't handle
it. I was 5 years from retirement.
Yeah, I was. Now it's seven. You know. And I agree that that's actually kind of the math that my wife and I are in right now and having that whole thought process.
Sure.
How many years are we away from retiring? Well, every time the Dems get in power, I need one good Republican in power, and I think I might be able to retire.
But without that. Well, and you know, and here's the thing too, that I think not just me, but I think so many people find frustrating. So this is a whole different story, but when we were at the RNC, I lost Chuck's license. It was totally my fault. Right. So now if Chuck were a bad guy, he could care less. Right. He's like, right. Well, I need my license anyway. So, but this is the way the system works. So you have to call. So I call the DMV and they're like, you can't make the report online. You have to call and book an appointment. Right. Cause it wasn't stolen. It was lost. So you wait in line for, not you wait in line. You wait in the queue for the call. And then they come on and say, they don't have anyone available to take calls today to go online. Then you go online and it says that they're offline today. They're not sure why. But in the meantime, now Chuck is off without a license and we're kind of worried about it. Silly. I mean, so it's all good. But you know what I mean? We've got the appointment now. But it was like, bad guy, only good people worry about it. And they would come after us in a heartbeat. You know what
right.
I mean? It's
right.
Tough to get stopped. You get a ticket and then he'd have to, you know, beat me. Or I mean, he wouldn't beat me.
But it's only a $15 ticket last time that I remember.
But you know, if you're like a naked meth girl stealing stuff from a business owner in Denver, you're not even.
You can sell out of those fucking seats.
She was just having a toga party.
Yeah.
Completely within her right.
Yes.
And went indoors to protect herself, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
I mean, they're going to come up with all kinds of craziness. And, you know, that's because they know there's no repercussions. And when you can get away with stuff, it's like playing in a golf tournament and you just pick up your ball. Have you, Chuck, have you ever read that list of things to do that according to the rules, that there's like this crazy rules that you can pick up your ball or something, take a one stroke penalty and then drop it in the cup, you know? And it's, you know, just, they know the system.
I've heard that one.
Yeah. There's, I read
that
this.
That must be a very special set of rules.
Yeah. Well, my view is everything on a golf course is man-made. So I get a drop.
Hey, listen, Marcus, we have one more golf tournament for Rev to finish. So Mark is going to be filling in for us Wednesday. Let me, I did
There's
this a little
another
bit.
Emergency in another the hills
emergency
with
in
the
hills.
Buses and kids, and we'll be up there trying to save them.
What do you got coming up on Wednesday?
Well, you know, every time you guys take these little breaks, something big happens. So I'm going to wait, you know, the stock market crashes today. Kamala Harris. I think she has a new book out, How to Move Up Vertically by Getting Horizontal. I think that's her book.
Great title. Great title.
But her new her VP pick.
Right.
I'm very interested because there's a bunch that want her to pick the governor of Pennsylvania, Shapiro. And there's a whole other group like, don't you dare.
Yeah.
We hate Jews. You know, the Democrat is the party of anti-Semites. They just don't want to make it official yet.
They don't want to be in the platform quite yet. Right.
But I mean, that's like the unofficial platform that they're going in. And I just think it's crazy. But Israel and Iran right now.
Yeah.
And I think it's hilarious. You know, Biden's not saying, I'm not sure if Biden was ever in control. I think the only difference now is the strings are a little more visible.
Yeah.
But, you know, trying to talk tough and move in warships. I just don't.
Well, also, one of the funniest things is they've called Kamala back from the trail to help him in this emergency time. Kamala, what would you do here?
Well,
it's Iran, a big country, and Israel is a small country.
Yeah,
they're playing, what's that game, battleships, right? That's so Joe and Kamala are playing battleships, and Joe's Iran, and she's Israel, and they're saying D3.
Yeah.
But,
you know, it's crazy. I tried to get John St. Augustine. I just got off the phone with him just a few minutes ago. And, you know, and I keep saying this, and I feel terrible, keep repeating this. John and I are just so busy with all this stuff. And we're waiting for these cases. I got one that the jury's still out. But I had a couple that were just recently resolved favorably for the client, I might add. Because law enforcement still does not understand how to do a digital investigation. So I might go through that. I'm hoping John can make it at the last minute. He's got some meetings leading up to another trial that he has. I'd love to talk about immunity. I really want to do that with Chuck, though, because I find it interesting that all the Democrats, you know, Biden saying he's going to get rid of the immunity, you know, for the presidency. And it's like, no, you're not, you know, you're not fooling anybody.
Right.
Immunity for the president and Congress and all that, it's not going anywhere.
No.
It's they may say that, oh, well, we don't want Trump to have it. Well, I understand that. But immunity is for the presidency. And, you know, DAs have absolute immunity. Judges have absolute immunity.
Yep.
So for God's sakes, obviously the president has absolute immunity. I mean, that's kind of just ridiculous. But there'll definitely be something on Wednesday. I have a lunch appointment up in Denver. So I will be exceeding the speed limit heading southbound on I-25 shortly after lunch, getting back down to Monument Hill. I'm sure all my buddies and their state patrols will be waiting for me.
As we proved in Cleveland, you can do it remote.
Yeah, you can do it from your car if you have to. So,
well, that's true. I've done it from the airport. And where was I?
Oh, you were. Yeah, you were at the airport, like at Chili's or something.
Yeah, I just went in the corner, ordered something small, and then just went for it. But I was doing a little traveling, and I'm leaving next week for Alaska to go halibut fishing.
Oh.
And at some point, Chuck and I need to go play golf together. I want to see how good Chuck really is. Well, are you Joe Biden or are you?
Yeah,
I'm closer to Joe Biden, but I'll bring Rev along.
Yeah.
And he'll stomp. The 13-year-old will stomp you.
Well, wait, okay, so I get to bring my young person then.
Oh, that's right.
And we'll play a little scratch game or whatever with
you guys
my
can play buddy. Ringer. Yeah, bring your ringers.
And we'll see who wins.
All right.
Hey, Mark, thank you very much. Wednesday. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Mark.
Mark, thank you to him and Alex, too. Okay, briefly then. Well, we've got plenty of time to talk about the economy collapsing. And it's technically, no, it's just a stock market collapsing. It was down 1,100 points. That's after it collapsed in Japan. I think this was interesting.
Right, Japan really dropped. And I'm, you know, they always say United States sneezes and other countries get, you know, COVID or something. But I mean, it is amazing that on a bad jobs report, it was, you know, I mean, worse than expected. They just go bonkers. I mean, just
well,
bonkers.
I think here's why this, well, number one, I want to point out something I'm suspicious of. At the same time, all the Charles Schwab, TD America, Ameritrade, all these investment houses suddenly were like, it wasn't working. You couldn't get into your thing, right? Yeah. I blame the Biden administration. I wonder, tell me what you think of this, that if part of it is, even though some of these liberals and these economic people may sort of say they don't like Trump, because we're going to play some sound here, they get that Trump is good for the economy. And I got to wonder if some of this is concern about sort of the Democrat exuberance about Kamala now. And they're like, oh my God, we are really screwed here.
Depends who, you know, there's a report today that the there are huge amounts of grants being given out to radical anti-Semite groups and so forth. So for some of the people, they don't want the gravy train to stop. If you're just an average Joe, you probably do, because it's your lunch they're taking.
Here's the thing, and I think that, you know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, Donald Trump turned things around quickly, and a lot of it, so much of it has to do with energy prices, because that affects fertilizer prices, it affects transportation, it affects everything, right? Okay. And when Biden decided, well, we're going for the Green New scam, right, all of a sudden energy prices have skyrocketed and they've never come down, and we're feeling sort of retroactively all of these effects. And you've got where Charles Payne was on Fox this morning, and he was saying, here's the thing, and I think enough people realize this, this is not some, you know, weird thing going on in Japan that we had no control over that just happened. He's saying the tough economic times in the United States and internationally, the weak jobs report, but inflation is up 19% under Biden, wages are down like 2%, right? And people, he goes, all of that is a direct result of Biden policies. And Thomas, if we could please play the Charles Payne soundbite.
Of a once in a century ailment that no one saw coming and had the lockdown in an entire global economy. This is because of policies that triggered 40-year high inflation that have now taken in a massive toll on the economy. Now, here's what's happening. This jobs report, this was a referendum, really, the market reaction on Jay Powell. I would say 60% of what we're looking at right now is on Jay Powell, comes at his
head of the Federal Reserve.
The Federal Reserve, you know, their job was to quell inflation, and their job is to sort of unwind what they've done. You know, they're really taking a deliberate steps to kind of back off on that. I think another 20% would be growth. Growth is slowing a lot faster than anyone thought or expected. You know, some did, I did, but, you know, the experts, you know, did not.
Here's Charles, a funny thing. Can I just tell you there?
So everything is bad. And then Trump was on. Then we're going to play a couple in a row here. Maria Bartiromo saying, I can turn this around. And she's kind of like throwing weird stuff at him. And Trump is like, no, it's really... How do I, it's not like brain surgery to figure out what we have to do, right? So if we could please play Thomas, the Trump economy soundbite.
We're going to get the first thing, we're going to get energy way down. Drill, baby, drill, all right? We're going to get energy way down. That's going to lead to the inflation. What's killed this country more than anything in the last 3.5 years is inflation inflicted upon this country by sleepy Joe Biden. The inflation has been a disaster in this country, and it's killed the middle class. It's killing the working class, and we're going to get inflation brought down. We have to bring prices down.
How do you do that? How do you get inflation down?
If we bring energy down, other things are going to follow.
So how many jobs do you think can be created by unlocking the energy capacity in America?
Numbers that you haven't seen before, numbers that we've never seen.
What? Oh,
we were
millions?
Doing it. We were, yeah, millions of jobs. That's what we need. We need millions of jobs. And we need people to come into our country, too, by the way. I don't want to say we're going to close the border, but we're going to have people come in, but it's going to be people that we should have.
In a post on Truth Social, you said that seniors should not pay tax on Social Security. And, of course, this made big news, but the Committee for a Responsible Budget says that that will mean increasing deficits by $1.6 to $1.8 trillion.
Because we can cut other costs. There's so much waste in our government.
What I want to ask, where do you get the revenue to offset that? Because it's also apparently going to advance the insolvency date of Social Security's retirement trust fund by over a year.
Well, you know, one of the things good about that is that's when people will make a deal. You know that. But we're going to take care of Social Security. We're not going to do anything to hurt our seniors. There is so much cutting. There is so much waste in this government. There's so much fat in this government. I also have no tax on tips.
See, and that's the thing. I mean, even she's trying to, these experts want to argue weird. And Trump is like, well, we'll cut spending. It's like, hello, we'll do what people do, right? You cut spending. If you have, you know, and I'm all for not taxing Social Security. But I think that Trump's, it's not like brain surgery, and he's not, and he did it before, right? When he came in before, inflation came down, they created millions of jobs, and the economy was rolling right along.
Yeah, but the economy is on a sugar high once.
Right.
You know, actually, more and more people, shoving more and more people in your country does produce a greater GDP. Now, it destroys many other things, but it does create growth. As a practical matter, you know, what if all of a sudden the how many billions are we giving? $125 billion to Ukraine.
Oh,
and as they say, most of the money comes, you know, to McDonnell Douglas and all the other ones. But those will be felt. And, you know, they always say they're going to get rid of the education department. Everybody realizes you don't need the education department, that you can give whatever core responsibilities to other ones. But ever since Ronald Reagan, they never do. In part, Congress is based on an agreement. And the agreement is the social programs will never be cut. PBS will never be cut. All those. In return, we'll give you unlimited amounts to the military, as if that's a fair exchange.
if you're the American citizen, you're screwed. But yeah. but here again, no one actually, except Donald Trump, seems to actually care about. I mean, but I think though it's becoming harder and harder for the Biden administration to massage this, right? I mean, there was uneven coverage about the economy today, right?
Fox News is the biggest joke. Yeah,
they were really weird about it. ABC, CNN mentioned it, but it wasn't Biden's fault. They carefully explained to us. But and I don't think people necessarily even care whose fault it is. I think when the economy is getting bad, 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 and you look and you're like, you know, the economy needs to get better. It hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse in 3 years. I'm going to vote for a change because it certainly couldn't be.
You know, a one day adjustment is no big deal. But what happens tomorrow?
Right.
And what happens the next day?
And that's a good, as it happens, Chuck, we have a soundbite on that.
All right.
There are some experts who are like, they're saying the R word, the recession word. That everything I was reading today people do not seem to think that this is going to suddenly reverse and all of a sudden McDonald's is going to lower its prices of, you know, spicy McChicken sandwiches. If we could please, Thomas, play the recession soundbite.
My goodness, if you get 3 consecutive monthly readings on job gains that are less than 125,000, we only had 114,000 for the month of July, I'm beginning to smell a recession coming into view, if that's the case. This jump by the unemployment rate, my goodness, 4.3%. This is up sharply from, you know, not long ago. Where was it? At 3.5%, 3.6%. This is a bearish report for the U.S. economy.
So, I mean, he's saying, now who knows? And recession, what is a recession? Some would argue we're already in a recession. But I think
recession is negative growth for 3 quarters.
Okay. Well, but I think, though, that if you are, if you're Harris, I think the only thing you have to do is to keep reminding everyone that you're a Black woman. And so they better vote for you or they're racist. Finally, before we wrap it up today, just kind of want to update you. The illegal coup attempt people are continuing to go forward, right?
Sure.
What's the latest on that? I know you talked
about it. Well, they hired Chris Murray. He used to be a Brownstein, but Brownstein got rid of him. Interesting, because he represented the Republican Party, and now he's going against the Republican Party.
Though.
Yeah, kind of wondering, you know, a little conflict of interest here. It'll be interesting if that's brought up. But they'll have a hearing at 10 o'clock tomorrow on the motion to reconsider. And it'll be interesting to see what the judge do. He can set a bigger hearing. He can reject it. He can do anything he wants, of course, and it'll be interesting.
Well, and I think to me, the most interesting thing is, as we've been saying, is so Chris Murray does not come cheap, right? Maybe he's not charging Brownstein bucks, but he's, you know, there aren't many lawyers who come cheap. So you got to wonder, where are Todd Watkins and Nancy Pelosi getting the money to pay for a lawyer to fight to have a meeting to oust Dave Williams before the election? I mean, what's going on with that, right? If I'm a billionaire donor, I might say, well, guys, why do we have to do this now? That do not forget that question. And the reason they have to do it now, and the reason, I mean, why are they not taking the money that they would be spending, that they're spending on the lawsuit and spending on Chris Murray, and donating it, say, to one of the congressional candidates, right? Gabe Evans, Jeff Hurd are in very competitive districts, right? I imagine they could use a little bit of help, but they're not. Instead, they're spending all of this time, energy, and money to try to get rid of Dave Williams when he, you could just reelect a new person in a few months, right?
They don't want Trump to do well.
Right. That's it. Exactly, Chuck. They want Trump to fail.
Yes. Yes. And want Collar to fail. That's what they're about. Because then they can pick up the ashes and they will control the moribund Republican Party.
So
it's just amazing. I mean, just truly indicative of who they are.
Well, and, you know, and they're having this, you know, you've pointed out, they're having to come out of the shadows, right? I mean, Nancy Pelosi and Todd Watkins tried to do it on their own. Somebody's having to pay Chris Murray. You know, I don't know if that's discoverable, who's paying him or where that's being paid for. But well, you got to wonder. You're right. Probably not. But it does seem kind of funny, right? It seems kind of funny that the Colorado Republican Party has to be upfront about who it's doing it. But the people who are trying to overthrow
the transparency people.
Yeah, the Transparency Unite people are doing everything they can to hide who they are and who's funding it. And that's because they know that they're a bunch of sleazebags, right? And they're just a bunch of sleazebags interested in power. Don't care if they destroy politics in Colorado. Don't care if Republicans lose in Colorado. But anyway, we'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, well, tomorrow, 10 o'clock, it'll start. And what's the result? We'll report back to you on Wednesday.
And on Friday, also, we're going to have...
We'll report
on Friday.
We're saving children on buses.
That's right. That's right. On Friday, though, we're going to have... Mark will be here on Wednesday. On Friday, Ash Epp is covering the Tina Peters trial. Yeah. So she'll update us on all of that. Right. And also, Vicky Tompkins and their Lincoln Day dinner. Todd, by the way, is trying to destroy the Lincoln Day dinner. They always try to destroy Vicky's Lincoln Day dinner. I think Mike Lindell is a speaker, so we'll have her on talking about that.
Yeah, that'll be great.
All right. So in the meantime, stay tuned for Mark, and we will see you all on Party Friday.
Take care.